السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم، صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected, honored scholars, ulama, elders, beloved brothers, mothers and sisters, and those who are listening over the receivers and the airwaves of Radio Islam International, we begin by praising Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, our cherisher. We send countless blessings, salutations upon our leader and master Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his honorable companions and his household. Friends and elders, at the very outset, I would like to place on record my appreciation to our respected principal, Qari Musa Sedat, who has requested me, you know, to speak at this momentous occasion. And of course, the galaxy of scholars and ulama that are seated behind me. The topic that I've selected for discussion today, it is a vital, it is an integral, it is an important topic, and I was reflecting on what to speak about, and Allah put these thoughts into my heart, and that is peaceful coexistence. They say on one occasion, one particular imam, he enters the masjid, and after ascending the pulpit, looking at the congregants, he said, "Brothers, today I have two messages for you. I have good news and I have bad news. The good news I have for you is, we now have sufficient funds to complete the masjid project. That is the good news. Now comes the bad news. The bad news is the money is still in your pockets." In that same breath, I say to you, my brothers and sisters, as Muslims, we have good news and we have bad news. The good news is we have that formula and we have that recipe to rescue the broader world from the turbulence and the turmoil it is experiencing. But the bad news is the formula is in my pocket. The formula is on my bookshelf. The formula is on the tongues of orators and speakers. I swear by the Almighty Allah, if only you and I can stand up to the test of time and revive and uplift those impeccable qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and manifest those outstanding qualities of the Nabi of Allah, then I will show you in the light of Quran and Hadith what a positive impact this will have on the broader people across the globe. On such a momentous occasion, I always say this: to find an obedient child who is upright in society, it is the priceless gift of nature. To find an obedient child who is upright in society, I swear by the Almighty Allah, it is the priceless gift of nature. You know, I have traveled to some countries of the world. We, alhamdulillah, we find in this country during the blessed month of Ramadan, you know, in some towns we have Taraweeh performed in 10 places, 20 different venues. You travel to some countries of the world, they don't even have one hafiz to lead the entire jama'ah in Taraweeh Salah. This is a boon and a bounty from the side of Allah. You know, when Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu had passed away, Auf ibn Malik al-Ashja'i had seen him in a vision and a dream. Bearing in mind, this is a dream of a sahabi. What does he see in this dream? He says, "In my dream, I was walking in a certain place, and I had seen a beautiful environment around me, beautiful scenery around me. Ghanamun rabidatun
لم ترى العين مثلها قط. And there was a flock of goats and sheep that was grazing in the nearby vicinity. And in the dead center of this garden, I had seen a qubba, a dome-like structure. He says, I was intrigued and I began walking in this garden. I asked those angels that were with me, that liman hadha, that tell me, to who does this garden belong? Whose animals are grazing in this garden? And who does that palace belong to? He said, in my dream, I raised my voice, I raised my sight, and on one of the balconies I had seen Abdurrahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Abdurrahman bin Auf looked at me and he said, Ya Malik, hadha ma a'tana Allahu lil Quran. What you see in front of you, this is what Allah has blessed me in lieu of my service that I've rendered to Quran Kareem. This is what Allah has favored me in lieu of my service I have rendered to Quran Kareem. Friends and elders, institutions like these, may Allah Ta'ala take it from strength to strength. These are floats that insulate our children, that protect the iman of our children. You know, in the book of Tasawwuf, Lahjatul Asrar, there is a narration that is recorded on the strength of Salman Al-Anmadhi. He says, one night I went to sleep, and in my vision, I had seen Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, I was reading Quran in my dream, and I had seen Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu told me, it is because of people like you who recite Quran in the early parts of the morning that protect that town and that city from earthquakes and tremors that potentially could destroy that locality. These young boys who have memorized the Quran, Allah alone knows. Allahu Akbar. You know the famous quotation of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What he used to say regarding a youngster who has memorized the Quran, he said, a young man who has memorized the Quran, he quoted the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam. We heard one of our young boys reciting that hadith. Iqra wartaqi warattil kama kunta turattilu fi dunya. Read and ascend the stages of Jannah. There is one narration. Nabi alayhi salam said, inna fil Jannah nahra. In Jannah, there is one river. Ismuhu Rayyan. The name of the river is Rayyan. Alayhi madinatum min marjan. Allah has built one palace on the river. Laha sab'una abwa alfa abu abab. Leading to this palace will be 70,000 doors. Lihamilil Quran. For the one who has memorized the Quran Kareem. For the one who has memorized the Quran Kareem. I always say this. One of the greatest challenges in this day and age is the raising of children. You know, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had died, Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu had said that we had barely dusted our hands from the grave of Nabi alayhi salam, and already we found that the conditions around us had changed. In other words, the burial of Nabi alayhi salam, which marked the termination of the golden era, was felt so instantly, so immediately, that we had barely dusted our hands from the grave of Nabi alayhi salam, and already we found that the conditions around us had changed. What about you and I, who find ourselves 14 centuries down the line? Like one sahabi addressing his companions, in Bukhari it is recorded, that innakum lata'amaluna a'amalan hi addaqu fi a'yunikum min ash-sha'ri kunna na'udduha fi ahdi rasulillahi min al-mubiqat. He says, today I find many sins prevalent and common amongst you, which you have trivialized, which you have regarded to be insignificant. He says, I remember very well, if that very sin had to be committed in the era of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that sin would have been regarded as one of the most destructive crimes. You know, when we look within Quran Kareem, Allah Ta'ala records the du'as of various prophets. And Allah Ta'ala records the du'a of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What du'a did Ibrahim alayhi salam make? What did he say? وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. That, oh Allah, save me, save my son, save my progeny from worshipping idols. He was sent to destroy idol worship. Yet Ibrahim alayhi salam makes dua to the Almighty Allah. That, oh Allah, save my generation from worshipping idols. Why? The environment he was exposed to was an environment of idol worship. We know how vulnerable our youth are becoming today. A boy of tender age is vulnerable to such crimes, such sins which were unheard of in the past. Like one person said it so beautifully in the Arabic language. He says there is no pleasure in life with the exception of three. There are three things in life that add flavor to human life. One is shamm al-sibyan, wa mulaqatul ikhwan, wal khulu'u ma'an nisa. One is being in the presence of children. I always say this. One is the fatigue of the day, the tiredness of the day. As you walk home, you are fatigued, you are tired, you are exhausted. As you walk home, one is your beautiful wife who has adorned herself for you. And one is that sumptuous meal that she has prepared for you. But in the middle of all this, I always say, it is that innocent child with that innocent smile. It is that innocent child with that innocent smile. I swear by the Almighty Allah, I don't think you can attach any price to the smile of that child. Wallahi, the smile of that young innocent child, it is so unique. That us, those who do not have children, they are going to the extremes and the extents of adopting children to get that smile. So really appreciate this bounty that Allah has given us. This bounty of children. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, when we look at his life, Allahu Akbar, just to digress for a few minutes, the Nabi of Allah is sitting on the pulpit and delivering the Friday khutbah, wajib khutbah. The two grandsons of Nabi alayhi salam, Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, just try and appreciate the veracity of this incident. They come crawling to Masjid al-Nabawi. Nabi alayhi salam, if he wanted, he could have told Sahaba to bring his two grandchildren. He stops the khutbah. He stops the khutbah. He descends from the pulpit. He picks up his two grandchildren and he carries them on his shoulders. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala looking at this, looking at these two grandchildren. And he said that, how fortunate are these two grandchildren who are riding upon the back of the greatest of Allah's creation. Nabi alayhi salam said, oh my Sahaba, oh my Sahaba, Allah alone knows the status of Hassan and Hussein. When we look at the love that Nabi alayhi salam had for his children, brothers, why I speak about this? Today we praise everybody else's child. I always say this, that many of us, outside the house, we are ever smiling. Inside the house, we're never smiling. Another man's wife impresses me. My own wife depresses me. I mean, that's the reality of the situation today. Like they say on a light note, when will you find a husband, you know, closing the car door for his wife? They say either the car is new or either the wife is new. Either the car is new or either the wife is new. So we need to appreciate what Allah has given us. There are many of us that are sitting here, and there are many that are listening. Allah has blessed us with children. How much do we appreciate our children? I mean, how many children I personally have spoken to? Well, Allah, whatever I do is never enough. Whatever I do is never enough. The first lap, first madrasa is the lap of the mother. The first madrasa, these are indeed, these institutions, these are the well-wishers who join hands with you in fulfilling your responsibility as a parent. If your child dies without understanding Quran, if your child dies without understanding Allah, without recognizing Allah, Allah will hold no ustad responsible. These are indeed the well-wishers who join hands with you in fulfilling your responsibility as a parent. Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi has recorded an incident in Tanbihul Ghafilin. One day one father comes to an alim, and this father complains to the alim that my son is very abusive towards me. He's very arrogant towards me. So this alim admonished this young boy. And this young boy looks at the alim and he says that I acknowledge that my father has certain rights over me. My question to you is, do I have any rights over my father? I acknowledge my father has certain rights over me. My question to you is, do I have any rights over my father? This alim tells this young boy, you have three rights. When your father got married, it was the duty of your father to select a noble spouse who will give birth to his children. Number two, when you were born, to give you a good Islamic name. And number three, when you matured and attained puberty, it was the responsibility of your father to teach you the knowledge of Quran. This young boy, he stands up and he said, I want to negate all three. When my father got married, he got married to a slave girl who has no lineage. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? Tazawwaju fil hijr salih. Get married in a pious family, because not only that woman, but the traits of that family will be transmitted into your generation. He says, number one, my father, when he got married to a slave girl who has no lineage. When I was born, he had given me such a name. Up to this day, I don't understand what it means. And number three, when I matured and attained puberty, my father did not teach me the knowledge of Quran. This alim then tells the father, you have beguiled your son before he has beguiled you. You have been disloyal to your son before he has been disloyal to you. So friends and elders, these children that Allah has given us, for every one of us that has gathered here, and those of us that are listening, this should inspire us. In fact, under the commentary of this verse of Quran al-Karim, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. Where Allah Ta'ala speaks about virtuous deeds. This is what will ultimately rescue a person on the day of Qiyamah. According to one narration, on the strength of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will order that one father be brought towards Jahannam. As this father is brought towards Jahannam, his young children will come running before Allah. And they will say, oh Allah, it is our father who had instilled morals and values in us. Perhaps he faltered in his relation with you, for which you are justified in throwing him into the fire of Jahannam. But they will intercede before Allah. The ulama have written, there will be those who will enter Jannah at the hands of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There will be those who will enter Jannah at the hands of ulama. There will be those who will enter Jannah at the hands of their own children. Allah will tell those young children, go and hold the hands of your father, and all of you enjoy Jannah wherever you desire. Allah alone knows. Today we are sitting here, my friends and elders, perhaps 200-300 of us. On that day, Allah will call this young boy. Allah will call this young boy. So like I'd mentioned, that it is the responsibility of each and every one of us to disseminate this knowledge of deen. Many of us feel that, you know what, I send my child to the madrasa, it is the responsibility of that apa, that molana, to teach my son Quran. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? Arba'atun min sa'adatil mar'a. Four qualities form the good fortune of a man. Four qualities form the good fortune of every man. Number one, أن تكون زوجته صالحة. Number one is, you have a pious wife. If you look at it from a material perspective, then the good fortune of a man will be that you have a beautiful wife. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? You have a pious wife. Number two, أولاده أبرار. You have obedient children who are obedient children. In the words of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, under the commentary of this verse of Quran al-Kareem, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. O Allah, bless us with such wives and such children who become the coolness of the eyes of the parents. He writes under the commentary of this verse, who are those children? When you walk into your home, you find your son making the tilawat of Quran, your daughter sitting on the musalla, your wife making the tasbih of Allah. May Allah make that a reality in our homes. So he says, number two, you have a pious wife, you have obedient children. وَخُلَطَاؤُهُ صَالِحِينَ. You have good friends, good companions. And number four, وَأَيَّكُونَ رِزْقُ فِي بَلَدِي. Your sustenance and your livelihood is in close proximity to where you live. So you don't have to travel far and wide. So that person that enjoys these four privileges, a pious wife, obedient children, good friends, and your sustenance is in close proximity to where you live, consider yourself to be the king of the world. Consider yourself to be the king of the world. One other aspect that I want to speak about, like I said in the beginning, one is to show love to our children. To show love to our children. That's number one. Number two, Nabi alayhi salam said, وَلَا تَرْفَ عَنْهُمْ أَسَاكَ أَدَبًا. Keep the rod hanging and warn your children regarding the disobedience of Allah. Psychologists today will tell you what you instill in the child up to the age of 7, that will remain in the child for the rest of his life. You know, the example of that I always give, it's like someone who's driving on a road at high speed. You know, many a times you speak to the children, I don't see you in the masjid. No, my father said you're still small. When you grow up, then you will start reading salah. You know, many a times we find children, mothers bringing the children to the madrasa, and the mother says, you know what, make sure you put the scarf on before Maulana sees you. What we have adopted this attitude that do what I tell you, don't do what I do. Do what I tell you, don't do what I do. It doesn't work that way. Nabi alayhi salam said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ بِجَبَلٍ زَالَ عَنْ مَكَانِي. If someone had to tell you that a mountain has moved from its place, tell the man, I believe you. But if he tells you that so-and-so youngster has abandoned an evil practice, tell the man, I don't believe you. Tell the man, I don't believe you. Nabi alayhi salam said, the moving of a mountain is easier. What you will instill in this child at that young age, that will remain with that child for the rest of his or her life. So what did Nabi alayhi salam say? Keep the rod hanging and warn your children regarding the disobedience of Allah. You know the example of that I always give. It's like a person who's driving on the road at high speed and the camera flashes. Natural instinct is for you to jam the brake. But if you jam the brake, no matter how much you jam the brake, inevitably the ticket will come. Similarly, what you instill in your children, that will catch up with you in the latter part of your life. What do the ulama write? Birru abba'akum taburrukum abna'akum. Be kind, be loyal, be obedient to your parents. Allah will make your children obedient to you. Be kind and loyal to your parents. Allah will make your children obedient to you. I mean the love of the huffaz, the love of the ulama. Hassan Basri used to say, "Lawla al-ulama lasara an-nasu mithla al-bahaim." Had it not been because of the scholars and the ulama, the general masses would have become like animals. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? Close to the end of time, due to the lack of competent scholars and ulama, people will be compelled to appoint ignorant people as the leaders. The ignorant people will take up leadership positions and they will lead the masses astray. You know, Mawlana Zulfiqar Naqshbandi, some years ago, I recall he was in Durban, and Hazrat Mawlana was saying that I was sitting in one of the parks in America, and you know, with his murideen, and one person was jogging in the park, you know, short pants, no top on.
So he comes and he introduces himself. So Maulana asked him that, you know, what's your occupation? So he says that I'm writing a tafsir of Quran. I recall some years ago I was in America. You know, one of the universities had invited me. And in one of huge university. So the person who's the head of Islamic studies, who's the head of Islamic studies, is a Jewish rabbi. He speaks fluent classical Arabic. And this is something, brothers, that unfortunately, we have not studied the language of Quran. We have barred ourselves from volumes of Islamic knowledge. We have barred ourselves from volumes of Islamic knowledge. Appreciate the ulama. Appreciate the ulama. Like I mentioned, institutions like these are forts that insulate our children, that protect the iman of our children. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda, he writes a letter to the Qurra of Quran, to those who had memorized the Quran. And what does he write in this letter? He said, Ya Hamlat al Quran, O those who have imbibed the word of Allah, recite the Quran, recite the Quran. And then he said, وَسَيَكُونُ بَعْدَنَا قَوْمٌ close to Qiyamah, a nation will make their presence on this earth. يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَا يَعْرِفُونَ فِيمَا نَزَلْ. They will recite the Quran and they will have absolutely no knowledge with regards to the message of Quran. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, close to the end of time, don't we find it today? Brothers, I know in Durban, I'm not too sure whether it happens here, there are certain people, they call themselves Ahlul Quran. They say that we suffice on the Quran. We don't need the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, a time will come, people will read the Quran and they will make their own interpretations and they will lead the masses astray. They will lead the masses astray. So we need to appreciate the ulama. I don't want to indulge you much further, respected elders. I had much to mention, but my message to you is that let us, this should be an inspiration, number one. I see there are many elderly people here. You know, I recall some years ago, I was traveling and there was a brother that was sitting next to me on the plane. And I was going to perform Taraweeh. So we got speaking and, you know, many at times, you know, we find people say, Maulana, there is this person in my business. He's not a Muslim. He's asking me something about Islam. I don't know what to tell him. We don't know where to start, where to end. When it comes to sports and politics, we can continue speaking. But we cannot speak about Allah. So I started speaking to this man about Quran. So I said, this is where I'm off to. So he says, what you mean? Do you know the Quran by memory? I said, of course. I said, not only me, there are thousands, thousands of youngsters globally. When one of the a'imma of the haram, when he visited South Africa some years ago, he says that, he mentioned this, he said there are more huffaz of Quran in the non-Arab world than the Arab world itself. In the non-Arab world than the Arab world itself. So this brother explained to him about the beauty of Quran. He was blown away. Nonetheless, I gave him my email address and we kept in touch. And I sent a copy of Quran, the copy of the Quran, the translation. And I linked him with a scholar in America. And alhamdulillah, within 6 months, he accepted Islam. Become the ambassadors of Quran, my brothers. Some years ago, I was in America. I see there are many elderly people that are sitting here. And here again, what did Nabi alayhi salam teach us? Nabi alayhi salam taught us that one is when you do wrong, it's between you and that person. Nabi alayhi salam, hadith Qudsi, Allah Ta'ala says, when a person has white hair on his head and you don't show respect to that person, and a person who has the Quran al-Kareem in his heart and you don't revere that young man, Allah says, I have declared war with you. It's not between you and him, it's me and you. So this elderly person, I was there for the month of Ramadan, and he had this desire, you know, to memorize the Quran. It's never too old. You know, a person will say, Maulana, I'm 60 years old. I always say, age is just a number, my brother. It's never too old. The Quran al-Kareem is unique. Subhanallah. Like we heard today, youngsters,
who could not recite the Quran, who cannot speak the Arabic language, in 13 months, 15 months, have memorized 6,236 verses of Quran al-Karim. So this brother, after Fajr Salah, I used to recite one verse, and he used to learn the verse. The next day, he used to read it to me. After Ramadan, I told him that, you know what? You know, continue on your own. 3 years down the line, one day he calls me, out of the blue. He said, Maulana, do you remember me? I said, your voice is very familiar. He said, I just phoned to give you the glad tidings that today I will be making khatam of Quran al-Karim. So it's never too old. Those of us that are sitting and we are not reading Quran, make a start, my brother. Make a start. Read one verse of Quran, but on a daily basis. Let us all say inshallah. On a daily basis, we will read Quran al-Karim. Those of us that are reading Quran, let us make a concerted effort to memorize the Quran al-Karim. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability. There's so much more we could have made mention. Like I said, I'll be failing in my duty if I don't place on record my appreciation to Hazrat Qari Musa Sadat for inviting me to this jalsa. Really, I'm truly humbled to sit in front of you, great scholars and ulama. Many of them have been an inspiration to me personally, alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala take this institution from strength to strength. Allah Ta'ala reward those, all those, the trustees, the musallis, and all those who have contributed, you know, to this institution. And may you continue to contribute, insha'Allah. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala make us amongst those servants, those who are after listening. Whatever little was mentioned, we bring it physically into practice. Ula'ika alladhina hadahumullah. These are the ones whom Allah has guided. And let me leave you with the words of Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. What he used to say, he said, recite Quran, honor the Quran, keep the Quran in front, don't subject the Quran to follow you. Honor the Quran will stand up on your behalf on Qiyamah's day. According to one narration, when a person passes away, let me leave you with this, you'll be lying in your grave. An angel will come to you and he will say, Ta'rifuni, do you recognize me? You will say, I don't know you. The angel will say, I am the Quran that you recited in the world. I have taken the form of an angel. Listen what I have to offer you today. Ana al-yawma unis wahshatak wa ulaqqinuka hujjatak wa uthabbituka bil qawli thabit wa ushhiduka mashahid yawm al-qiyamah. I will stand by your side. I will illuminate your grave. When the angels come and question you, I will answer on your behalf. And I will not leave you until I have not seen you entered into the gardens of Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala inspire us with the reality. Allah Ta'ala accept the effort of these young lads who have memorized Quran. Allah protect the Quran within the bosoms. Allah Ta'ala accept the effort of the asatiza of the institution. And Allah Ta'ala reward their parents who have sacrificed. You know, generally when we attend jalsas, it's a momentous occasion, you know, for parents, family members get together. For many of these boys, their parents are sitting in some other part of the world. What a moment it must be. Today they are not present, but on Qiyamah's day, when the entire creation from Adam alayhi salam till the last baby that will be born will be alive, jinkind and mankind, collectively they will stand up before Allah, and Allah will honor these youngsters. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability that we imbibe the advices of Quran and Sunnah. وما علينا إلا البلاغ.